Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Golf Podcast. Mike, how many weeks is this at home right now? This is like, what, our third or fourth episode from home?
I think this has got to be four.
I think it is. It's starting to feel like every day is a bit of Groundhog's Day. You know what I mean?
I know. We're going backwards. We're going back to the Skype. We're out of HQ.
I know. But
I was actually going to go there today and film my part over there just because it's right down the road and maybe I could bring a little bit back. But
I know. I'm looking forward to getting back. I think this has probably been the longest I've gone without being on a golf course. I think in 10 years. You know, it's just, there's going to be a lot more than the usual spring rust to knock off the game once we get back out there. That's for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I'm hoping that maybe it's the opposite. Maybe there's by hanging it up for some time, maybe I'll eliminate some bad, swings I've had or things like that, but who knows?
Well, there's something to be said for rest. That's for sure.
Exactly.
But you know, speaking of bad habits, one thing that we are going to talk about, we're going to talk about the chicken wing in the swing. We're going to dive into, you know, what some of the causes are and how you can fix it, because it's a very common issue. What I probably won't get into, because like we said, we are not instructors. If you're new to the show, we're a couple guys who are average golfers, love the game, love sharing the game, and love learning the game. But our philosophy on instruction is try to learn as much as we can, working with some of the great instructors that you've seen here on the podcast and on some of the videos, and then just take what we've learned and turn it around and try to bring it to you guys so that hopefully you can learn along with us. So we've learned some things with this, with the chicken wing. What I would say is not one size fits all on this. So take what you can out of it. But the argument, and sometimes in the other direction, is you get guys like Jordan Spieth, right? Who's got a bit of a chicken wing to his swing, but you can't argue against the fact that it works for him. So there are some nuances to everything. There's no, like I said, one answer that's like going to be a magic bullet for everybody. But what there are is there's some common conditions and common motions in the golf swing that everyone can benefit from understanding. So that would be the hope as we dive totally into this. And this too, the chicken wing too, is I know a lot of people who listen to the podcast are very new to the game, as we were when we started this podcast, right? And this is such a common issue for people who are new to the game. I feel like if you just pick up a golf club and just swing it, or if you just hand a golf club to someone who's never played golf before and they take a swing, chances are you're going to see that elbow kind of jutting out, right? You know, it just seems like that's kind of the natural way that people pick up and swing a golf club until they learn the mechanics. So this is something that we're going to talk about, those fundamentals, and talk about those mechanics. And then we're also going to dive into a drill you can do if you're struggling with a little bit of a chicken wing in your swing. But the good part about this is this drill can be done at home, because I know pretty much everybody's home right now. So I think that that's a good thing to do. We want to talk about that. We got a fun Twitter tap-in, which we're going to talk about, which leads to, at least for me, Mike, it's indicated some other content that we've got to do soon, because it just kind of opened my eyes to that. And I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, of course, we want to thank some of our sponsors. Guys, Bob Vokey and his team, they're always grinding to produce an excellent product. You know, grinding. I love that little pun there. I
like how you slipped that in there.
Right,
yep.
Right. But with the new SM8 wedges, they really have made a giant shift forward. And we had a chance to speak with Bob in person on a recent episode just back in January. And it really was amazing to hear directly from him all of the thought and the technology that went into the new line of SM8s. And it was actually, we took a lot of your questions. And one of your questions was, how do you continue to improve? You guys, if you haven't seen that, go back and listen to that episode. Bob talks about how he's always listening to tour players and amateurs alike to see how he can kind of make things better. Mike, you and I, we're going to be going for our own fitting really soon for the SM8s. We were supposed to do that a couple of weeks ago. As everybody knows, lockdown, nobody's going anywhere. But as soon as that lockdown is lifted, We'll be back at Sleepy Hollow with Kevin Sprecher, a familiar face around here, is the guy who we trust for our fittings. And we're going to be going getting an SM8 fitting from him. And when we do, of course, we'll be sure to tell you guys about it. So make sure you guys get your own fitting schedule for this summer. And if you're unable to get to a fitter, but you are in the market for some new wedges, check out the new wedge selector tool on VokiWedges.com. So it's a really handy tool that'll kind of walk you through at least some of the process. All right. So Mike, first, before we dive into the Twitter tap in, I just want to see how you holding up. How you holding up with all this?
You know, it's hard, man. It's hard, right? I mean, everyone's probably feeling the same way. I mean, a lot of us have got into routines.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know,
you mean routines before this or routines now? I mean, we have a different routine now, but it's
like, yeah, you're absolutely right. So a new routine, a quarantine routine, but you know what? It's actually, and look, my daughter's 3-year-old's trying to come in the door. There's no lock on this door. So she's going to try to barricade through.
You got a chair up against it?
Like that.
Right.
I put my bag against it leaning. So you might hear a loud crash, but, I know everyone wants to get back to real life, regular life, I should call it. So, other than that, you know, it's the diet for me has just gone out the window still.
Tell me.
You
know,
that's the hardest part.
Even if you want to, my wife and I were talking about it the other day, like we wanted to like, let's eat a little healthier right now. Honestly, you're just taking what you can get from the grocery store.
That's it, man. That is really it. What you can get.
Yeah. And it was amazing. Some of the stuff that they're sold out of, these empty shelves, but it is what it is. Like at the end of the day, like yesterday I was kind of feeling it for the first time. I was like, telling my wife, I'm like, what is this week 4? You know, where are we at? And I was just like, I am getting more and more demotivated just being in this rut from being home. But then I thought, you know what? You got to stay gratitude is the biggest key. Trying to be grateful. There's a lot of people I try not to listen to too much news because it can be depressing. But sometimes when I turn it on, I hear it's a lot of people who are going through a lot worse things. So
exactly.
Again, staying grateful and just looking ahead. And finally, the sun is shining. It's starting to tease us with the weather. It's not quite there yet. It was still 38 degrees here in New York this morning, but it's getting there. And I can see us out on that golf course soon. Soon. It's going to happen.
I think so too.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think it is coming. I think, you know, all the courses eventually did shut down around here. I know we talked recently about some were still open with some rules, but they finally shut them all down. And I think they're going to be the first ones to kind of open back up and us to step back in, back to that safe play again, back to what it was at. And, you know, hopefully you and I can get out there. I mean, we got together not long ago in a very safe way to film an episode of Twig at HQ. We stood, 10 feet apart, didn't even go near each other.
Right.
Disinfected the whole place, things like that. But I think we'll get back to it soon.
I think at the very least, though, we're going to see the effects of it all season long, in so much as that even when these courses start to reopen and we start to dive into summer, there's no doubt that there's going to be some additional still spacing rules. I wouldn't be surprised to see them not trying to fill every foursome like they normally would and putting people together. Who knows? I mean, it's new territory that everybody's entering, but
right.
I am looking forward to getting back out there. And speaking of which, let's talk about our Twitter tapping because we have like on the horizon, some things that we wanted to do this year as well, like not just play golf, but the content we wanted to create. And there's a lot of instructional stuff that we wanted to do, right? And this one ties right into it because in our Twitter tap-in, which by the way, if you're not already following us on Twitter, make sure you do so at Golficity so you can participate in our weekly Twitter tap-in segment. But what we asked is we said, rate your green reading ability on a scale of 1 to 10. So not your putting ability. We just want to know your green reading ability of where you rate yourself. And looking at some of these answers, I feel more comforted that we are not the only ones who struggle with this. And we'll dive into a few in a second, but I'll tell you what, this shows me even more. And we had a chance to do a Q&A with Kevin Sprecher on live. We're going to be doing another one with him. He had talked about, you know, let's get you guys out there and do a green reading lesson. I know he's trained in a bunch of different green reading methods. So one goal that we've personally set for this year is to do one just killer video with Kevin Sprecher walking through green reading, where he gets to teach us, we learn, you guys learn along with us. That is a huge goal for me because I think it's an area where it doesn't require any physical skill to get better at, right? You can read the green better. Right. It's a mental thing, you know, it's learning. And if you do it, you know, it's going to translate to better scores. There's no doubt about it.
I totally agree. Yeah. Totally agree.
So, all right, Mike, tell me if you saw any favorites. I've got a couple few ones here. And while you do that, I got to plug my laptop in. Go ahead. You go.
Yeah, you definitely go ahead. You know, you're seeing it actually all over the map. I mean, Patty B17 says a solid six. Louis Tober says mine is a 2 to 3. And then you got Patty Golf says he's an 11.
Yeah.
So, you know, you went from a 2 to a 6 to an 11, you know, it shows. And then Jamie Michael says Ray Charles. I mean, he's clearly saying that he can't see any part of the green is what I'm gathering from that. And, you know, and he's just terrible at it. So, you know, it's great seeing everyone all over the map. I put the Ray Charles at a 0. So we're seeing from a 0 to an 11.
Yeah.
And Frank, I'm going to put myself in there at around a 9.
Wow.
And I think it's, yeah, I think it's one of my strongest things out there, other than greenside chipping, the feel I have greenside chipping, mm-hmm. and reading the green. Forget about putting the ball. That's a completely different story. Right. But reading the green, having the green in the yard and being out there and like, because that green in my backyard has a bunch of different breaks. So I do something out there called hand golf. We made it up during quarantine where it's kind of like bocce ball meets golf, where everyone throws a couple of balls and whoever's the closest to the hole in that round wins a point, whatever. But about doing that, I learn where does the ball need to land on the green to get from that slope I've identified, and then what does the ball do like the last 6 to 12 inches before it gets to the hole?
Yeah.
And I've been working on that, and I've just built so much confidence that I could give myself a 9 out of 10 in green reading right now. So
That's pretty good. And if you're saying that as well, your strong suit is chipping, you know, green side, it's because it's following a similar concept. You're reading the green when you're green side. So that's really important. And I tell you what, I picked up a lot. Like I talked about the other day, I watched a video that Piers and Andy from Me and My Golfs did with Ricky Fowler, and just kind of watching Ricky's process where the different spots of where he reads it, because he's doing multiple different reads. That made me learn a lot. But I would say my green reading ability is not where I want it to be. I would rate myself right now a 5 with lots of room for improvement, especially with changing speeds. So this is a good one. I can relate to this. Kenny Lee says, this is his answer. He goes 9, wait, 2, no, 9, well, maybe 3. And he said, how about a 5 firm? And it's because it does. If sometimes you feel like you can read well, and other days you feel like I just don't have it. You know, some greens just baffle you. So I know that it changes course to course. We've learned from playing in different areas. It changes based on the green type, the grain. We've learned in different ways to read things. And when we were in Scotland, we were reading it into the wind a lot more. You know, which we didn't really have to factor before, but it was interesting. But let's see here. Alex Group says, I've really improved. I'm a 3 now. And then this one. Brock Blakely says, I got this new special select Scotty just so I look good 3 putting, if that says anything.
Yeah, that's so great.
At least he looks that's good. Great. But I see a lot of 3s, 2s.
I see a negative 1.
A negative 1 is in there.
Yeah.
You know,
4 for speed, 8 for terrain. And, you know, that's another thing. I mean, it's one thing to identify which way the ball is going to turn on you. But like you said, that there's so many different speeds of different greens from a muni course to a country club to whatever. And you have to adjust on the fly, so to speak, or get there early enough where you can kind of figure out those green speeds.
Yeah,
because you can identify that there's a sharp right to left bender, but how are you going to really understand the speed? You know? So
it's the subtleties. I think it's the subtleties where it happens. But that was John Lawton says 4 for speed, 8 for terrain. And that's the real key, is that a proper read is going to factor in both, because we've seen it before. There's not just one way to make a putt. The amount of speed you apply to it is going to take a certain amount of break out of it. So I like sometimes when you see those graphics, even watching the PGA Tour, and they'll show the line, but it depends on the speed. The guy still make the putt without taking that line because he's taking a slightly different speed. So for sure, when we dive into this learning session on reading, we're gonna dive into both. But like I said, there's even so many more nuances to that. Not just that, but different greens read differently. And that's why I love when you play some of these, better courses sometimes that make you go out there with a caddy, and then you have a caddy read for you. Cause I like to do that because I like to try to read it myself first and then have them read it, just to kind of see the difference and see if I would have gotten it, but
yeah,
I'm usually not on.
You know, let me ask you a quick question. So you talked about the lines, the graphic lines that come on the screen on tour. And this goes back to also the putting green we saw at the PGA show, that you have the line, it shows you where to putt.
Yeah.
Even with that, out of 10 putts, how many are you making?
I feel like I'm, that's the thing. You just, there's two sides. It's just like any part we talked about before where you have strategy and then execution. So right. Any shot, you're going to strategize where's your aim. You know, they talk about like golf being where you want to have better misses, right? And they say even the PGA Tour players, they miss too, but it doesn't look like it because they have a better, you know, strategy. They're aiming in spots where they have more room for error. So it could be your approach shot and you're aiming, let's say, at two trees right of the flag. You may miss that ultimately, that aim spot, but there's two parts to it. So for me anyway, answer your question, I feel like my stroke is getting more reliable as I've been working on it. That was another area where I was struggling, where I could say my putting stroke was maybe a 5. Now I feel like it's creeping up in that 6-7 range. There's still a lot of room to go. I feel like a 10 is maybe Tiger and that's pretty much it. Right.
Yes.
But
right.
You know, there's room to work on that. But then, like I said, it's got to work together. First, you got to put that read in and then you got to execute.
That's absolutely right.
So important stuff there, but we'll dive into that a whole lot more.
Yeah,
I want to talk about this chicken wing. So Mike, what do you say we do another word from our sponsors and then we'll dive into it?
Yeah, let's do it. Big thanks to ShotScope as always for sponsoring the podcast. If you guys are new to the show, the ShotScope V2, world's smartest golf watch. It's a GPS watch. It's a stat tracking watch. It goes on your wrist. It's got laser light GPS. I mean, we've tested it against, you know, the best rangefinders out there. And what impresses me the most about this product is the amounts of data that you get in your golf game. I talk about this all the time on the show. I talk about the dashboard that's easy to navigate. You know, you basically play around, you come in, you come back when you're done, you load it up to your dashboard, and you can go back and just revisit the round. It's great. You could see how many times you hit the fairway, how many greens did you hit, where were your misses, you know, how many putts per hole, you know, things like that. And it's just a great tool because it will help you improve. I mean, you could go buy a GPS watch that just gives you distance, front, back, middle, great. But this watch will do that as well and give you, you know, the data to help you improve. So it's simple to use. You go out there, you turn it on, you do a one-time screw in the nubs to the end of your club, and then you're on your way. So check it out, guys. If you want to learn a lot about your golf game, you know, check it out. It's $119. We had Gavin from ShotScope on the show not too long ago. He hinted at a V3 product coming soon. So, you know, stay tuned for that as well. But if you're looking for something with a, you know, $119 price tag, to get out there and try this product, then this is the route to go.
And speaking of Gavin, Mike, we had a couple people email us saying they enjoyed hearing Gavin on the show last week. It's not just the product, it's the people behind it. And Gavin is one of those. When you hear Gavin, and we know him well, but when you even just listening to the podcast, you can get an idea and a feel for how important the game is to them. And when somebody is, you know, the game is that important to them, you know, the product is going to be too. So thank you to everybody who emailed us and said you enjoyed hearing Gavin on the show. We had a lot of fun chatting with him too.
Oh, always do. Always do. So that was great. And lastly, just want to thank FootJoy. Take your game to the max this season with the new Tour X golf shoe from FootJoy. I mean, it's fully loaded inside and out. The Tour X, I mean, it's a beautiful shoe. I mean, I love the sole, the bottom. It's got this cool, colorful bottom. But what it does, not only the look, but what it offers, and that's max stability and control, as well as comfort, too. I mean, that's key. I mean, we walk a lot when we're out there, 4 or 5 hours. Sometimes, you know, we're warriors. We'll play. And I know a lot of us are going to want to play 36 now. Then when we get back to real life, we're going to try to get in as much as we lost. So you need some comfort in the feet. And if you're staying home and you're fortunate enough to keep your job and you got your money coming in and you're not spending as much, then treat yourself to these because they're great golf shoes. I mean, they have these launch pods in there, which these are really incredible. I had no idea. They provide stability. They allow you to launch the ball, you know, because you're pushing through the ground. And that's important. We don't even think about that. And you don't sacrifice on comfort either with these things. They wrap your foot in a coziness of this ortholite impression. It's called a fit bed. It's got a foam collar around the top, so you're not going to be digging into your heel like those old shoes that would really hurt when you walk. I mean, they've got max in-shoe comfort and support, the full nine. It's tour-proven. The guys all over the tour, the FootJoy guys, are rocking these, you know, right before they shut down play. But they were wearing them, and I'm sure we're going to see them again as soon as they resume. Check it out. Experience max performance for yourself with the all-new Tour X.
For sure. All right. So let's talk about chicken wing. So firstly, what I would say is we'll describe it a little bit here, because I want to describe a little bit of what the mechanics are that are happening. But being, of course, a podcast here where you're listening to us, most likely driving or something else, nothing beats a visual, right? So what I would say is take 2 seconds to Google, you know, chicken wing golf swing. And it's such a common issue that inevitably many, many, many pictures will show up. And you'll be able to identify what this is quickly. But effectively, like I said, it is a common issue. It is an issue with mechanics. But let's say, again, we're going to use the instance of a righty golfer. If you're lefty, just switch it. But if you're a righty golfer and you're finding that your left arm is separating from your body around impact, that's a chicken wing. And it looks mm-hmm. like a chicken wing, right? Yep. Depending on how drastic it is. But again, there are different levels of everything. You might not be super drastic, but you may be, you know, dealing with a little bit of this. So the issue, again, like I said, the left arm for a righty is going to separate from your body. It's going to move, you know, kind of awkwardly up and away from the body. And you can look at it face on and you'll kind of see that chicken wing kind of move. And it's a problem for a lot of reasons. You know, for one thing, you're going to lose what a lot of us, you know, all of us want in our golf swing, which is power. You're going to lose some power when you've got this kind of going on. And the reason you're losing that power is because it's indicating that you're not rotating fully and freely if your left arm is coming through. That's usually what's going to cause it. It's more of like, you've maybe heard people say like swinging with your arms instead of swinging with your body.
I hear that often.
Right. And when we did our lessons with Kevin Sprecher, do you remember? He's like, the two keys he kept coming back to is balance and rotation. And he would always break down, no matter what swing it was, no matter what type of shot or where you were standing, he was like, just first make sure you're balanced. You want to make a balanced swing and then rotate. And when this type of thing happens, often what's happening is your lower body is not rotating. So take a look at those pictures I told you to Google, right? Look at that chicken wing. And if you can get a side-by-side versus somebody who's not doing it, and what we'll do in the show notes too, we'll drop the article that we did covering this on Golficity, and there's some great images in there. The first thing we look at is that jutted out left elbow, right? But if you look closer at the image, if you look at a side-by-side of someone who's doing it right versus someone who's doing this wrong, focus further down at the lower body. And what you'll notice is people who have that arm tucked in nice and tight are going to be far more rotated in the lower body versus someone who doesn't. And that's that problem. It's when that club is starting to come through first without the lower body rotating through. And so the arms effectively are kind of getting ahead of the lower body. And what happens is they kind of got nowhere to go. They get kind of jammed up, and then all of a sudden elbow comes out. So it's something that ultimately, for the most part, again, speaking broadly, it's a no-no, you know, for those iron shots and for a lot of shots, but because of those reasons I talked about, you really want to, in a proper, let's say iron shot, you want to be hitting down through that ball and rotating with that left arm tucked in nicely. Now, again, like I said, there's certain caveats. You get like Jordan Spieth and some of these other guys, but exception, not necessarily the rule. We're talking basic kind of broad fundamentals here. So again, that's what it is. Now, like, what's causing it, right? And it's easy to kind of like I said, when you're looking at those pictures, it's easy to have your focus driven towards just that left arm, again, for a right-handed golfer, because that's kind of like the most obvious symptom. Like if you were a doctor and you're trying to diagnose somebody, they may have one or two very obvious symptoms, but to really paint the whole picture, like what are some of the other symptoms that are not as obvious that you can use for a diagnosis? So you look at that and you're like, okay, that's obvious, but let's look at what else is going on. And the reason your arm is moving away from your body is that you're just not turning through the shot as you should. If your swing had that whole body rotation that we're looking for, this issue would most likely start to go away. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm.
That makes perfect sense. Definitely. I mean, I'm a victim of the chicken wing. I mean, you said there'd be photos in the article. You could just go to our YouTube channel and watch any of our videos and just watch me swing. I mean, I have photos all over the wall from like Scotland, Bay Hill, and I'm looking at all the swing photos and all I sing is chicken wing, chicken wing, chicken wing. But it totally makes sense. And I've been trying to cure this, but for me, it's what I've noticed. It's not on every swing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different clubs that I don't do it with. I mean, for me, I feel like I'm bailing out or I'm not trusting it. Or I was trying to find the underlying root of the problem of why was I doing it when I do it. And this is helpful.
Well, one thing we learned when we went down and we worked with Zach, remember Game Like Training? And he was saying, you know, you're generating all this power. You're swinging mostly with your arms. He's like, imagine if you use your legs more. So that's one thing, like I said, rotation. Mm-hmm. But what I would also say, like I said, there's no one thing that common thing that causes this. And I'm taking a stab at this. Now, remember, I am not an instructor. But one thing I've noticed just from watching your swing, sometimes it looks like you're chicken winging, but you're kind of not, at least not through impact. Mm-hmm. Because you do come in so steep, right? I've seen it before. You make such direct and heavy contact with the ground that it tends to like stop your club up, like slow your club way up. So if you took a freeze frame at you, I would say 3 milliseconds after impact. So the ball's already been impacted, right? And the ball's starting to fly away. Now you start to hit that ground, but you're hitting at a steep angle. So it's taking a lot of that speed of the club away. Well, there's nothing really that can happen other than, like we talked about, you get jammed up and it'll look like your elbow starts to bend because it's absorbing the impact of that ground. Does that make sense?
There you go.
Look at some of those that Scotland pictures. Sense. I guarantee at least one of them is right
I'm
after impact.
I'm looking at them right now.
Right?
Yep.
It's got to be like right after impact.
I even see the divots.
Because the earth is going to win that battle, Mike. The earth is going to win that battle.
Right. So every time.
Every time. So like your club will start digging into it, but eventually it's just going to slow down. And then that's all that can happen. It would be like, you ever seen people hit those impact bags? Like as a training aid? The big impact bags. It looks like a little bean bag.
Yeah.
And they hit them. And then what happens is because the club stops, not much that can happen other than your elbow starts to come out as the club stops. So that might be causing it too. That might be causing a certain degree of it. But in other cases, some people, they're at impact and they're chicken wing, you know? So that can really, you know, and that's when you're at impact and you're chicken wing, that's when you're really starting to lose some of that power. So
for sure.
First step towards better mechanic, you got better mechanics. You really have to work on improving the way your body turns through the ball. Try taking those practice swings. You can even do this without a club. Again, you can do this at home. Just turn your body away from the target and then turn through and just start to, we talk about upper and lower body separation. We've done this. We've done this even from a fitness standpoint with guys like Ben Shear and stuff through the years, right? A really good golfer, like these tour pros, have incredible upper and lower body separation. And what they're able to do with that is they use the legs aggressively through that downswing that builds momentum. So the legs and the lower body really get going first. Some of these guys, it's so good. We saw this. We did this a little bit on like the K-Vest with Kevin and the Swing Cat. They are effectively starting to their lower body rotating back towards the target as the upper body is still going back. So it's just like, you know, everything is going back, but then all of a sudden the lower body starts moving towards the target. The upper body is still coming up to finish that swing, you know, to the top.
Right.
And then it, like, there's nothing that can happen at that point, but the torque of the lower body just starts to pull the upper body down and through. So that really, that aggressively using your legs in the downswing is going to build that momentum. It's going to accelerate the turn. So your arms really, unless you had incredibly fast hands and some crazy timing, it would be hard to get your arms out of in front and beat your legs if they've got that head start.
Of course.
Just kind of work on that. And there's a lot of different, honestly, there's a lot of different methods and drills you can use to start getting the lower body firing first. I liked even that like step drill. We used to even see guys like, I think it was Keegan Bradley used to see doing that a lot, where it's almost like in baseball, they'll take an aggressive step forward and swing. You're just getting that, and this is only in practice swings, obviously, but getting that up, that lower body moving through first. And there's other caveats to it. If you find that you're having trouble physically doing it, it might be there's things you can do to improve your flexibility and your upper and lower body separation. If you're in our Facebook group, a great thing would be tag like Kirk Adams. You know, he's really, you know, excellent with this stuff. Some of these guys who specialize in golf fitness, and you can ask them like, what are some exercises I can do for upper and lower body separation? I think he's even covered that in the group in some videos before.
Yeah, he definitely has.
Yeah,
he definitely has.
Great information.
Hey, listen. Going back to really what you just said, the timing, super fast hands. Remember we were working with Spreck with the K-Vest and the Swing Catalyst, he said that I was getting back, my timing was coming, you know, I was getting my hands to where they needed to get sometimes.
Right, right.
And he says, you know, he kept saying, he's like, that's no way to play golf. He goes, when you do bring it back, you hit the ball great. But the times where you don't, it's a mess.
Yeah.
So is that what we're talking about here?
Oh, for sure. That's a big part of it. I mean, some people, that's what we talk about, inconsistency. I deal with the same thing. I deal with the same thing in that lesson with Spreck. When you're inconsistent, it could be that your timing is just on one day and off another. If you can really distill it down to just the fundamentals of the swing and the rotation, that's what we're trying to do here. You rely less on timing. So if you can get your body just moving in a way that's sequential, that's the other thing we did with the K-Vest. We worked on our sequence, like backswing, transition, swinging down through.
Transition. And
get right. that timing mm-hmm. right. You know, that's what we did with the transition, putting like even a little bit of a pause in it, whatever it may be. But this is where if your lower body is not firing consistently the same way, your upper body is doing all these like weird things to kind of make up for it from a timing standpoint. So in like he was saying, in your case, you know, your hands get a little bit faster and sometimes they catch up and sometimes they don't. But
right,
as he said, it's a struggle that I've always had. It's like, mm-hmm. how do you not rely on timing? And the way you do that is you just grind on your fundamentals. Just That's always, it. Always trying to That's do it. It. But one handy drill that you can do, this is a pretty common drill. I guarantee if you've absorbed a bunch of golf instruction content, whether it be on the internet, on Golf Channel, wherever, you've seen this drill at some point. It's so common. But that would be like either, I've seen it done in a couple of ways, either a glove or a towel that you put under the left arm.
Under the arm.
Right, yep. Exactly. You tuck it in there under the left arm and you go to the range and you make some practice swings that way. And if you find that that glove or that towel is dropping to the ground, you know, before, at, or kind of around impact, you know that there's a problem there because your left arm, for righties, is separating from your body too soon. I think mm-hmm. realistically, the only time that towel or glove should drop is when you get to the very end of your finish where you're coming up. And then obviously then your elbow is coming out in a way. I mean, look at a freeze frame of the finish of any PGA Tour player's swing. And you can see that the hands are usually high and the elbow is up at that point. But their arm is tucked in tight to their body through that swing, you know, at least up until the point where the club is parallel to the ground on the, you know, through the finish. And then when it starts to raise right. up, then maybe, you know, that arm is separating. But tuck that glove under your left armpit, trap it there by, you know, putting your arm back down so it's kind of just being held there. And then try taking that whole swing and not let it drop to the ground. Like I said, at least through the very end of the finish. And if you make that chicken wing move, the glove is going to drop. So you that'll be that indicator that it's happening. So then the next thing will be like, okay, I need to work on that rotation. And then just try focusing on rotating better. Rotate better on the next swing and see if you're able to be improved. And then that glove or that towel should not be dropping to the ground.
It's a brilliant drill. It's an easy drill, very popular. Yeah. It's a free drill because you take anything and put it under there.
Yeah.
And it's not uncommon at the range. You might see many other people doing it. So I love that drill. And I think I need to put more time and effort into that drill when I get back in, because I don't want to revert back to this chicken wing when we come back out of the gate and start hitting again. And like you said, just grab a towel, throw it under there and go.
Look, you said common. We even see the PGA Tour players doing this. What was that new device that I saw them all doing where you hang
that
ball?
They wear a ball.
Right. So
that was the other thing I was going to mention.
It hangs around your neck. It's a ball and they're pinching the ball between their elbows. Now, obviously that's working on some other things too, but it's keeping that kind of like one piece. Same deal there. If you were to go to a chicken wing, that ball is going to fall out from between your arms. So it's a common thing. You're not going to look silly if that's what you're worried about doing it at the range, because it's so common. People would, you know, kind of understand what you're doing. And if not, who cares anyway? Once you get good, you'll be taking their money while you're out there. So, right. So don't worry about it. But another little caveat to this that I'd also want to mention is to not rule out, or not overlook, I should say, is a better word for it, your short game when it comes to this. Yeah. pitch, you know, little pitch shots, little chip shots. Here too, if you're struggling with it, if you're getting very arms and handsy, it's very possible you're chicken winging a little bit or swinging too much with the hands and arms. This is something that 100% I've been practicing a lot because I had done that. I would just try to kind of finesse the ball by just like kind of slapping at it with my hands and trying to worry too much about like how far and how hard I hit it. And I've been really trying to focus on even like let's say a 15-yard kind of like bump and run shot, right? Mm-hmm. Just a short little shot. I'm more working on the concept of how do I hit it that far using rotation rather than using hands and arms. Because my usual self, the way I would play golf for a long time, I would just try to like use my wrists and arms and just kind of like, it would almost be like a wrist shot in hockey, right? But now right. I'm trying yep. to keep that all in one place and just use the hips to turn and hit it. But anyway, that's the thing. You can definitely look at that. Look at it in your short game, and you can practice this in your short game too. Use that towel drill for little chip and pitch shots as well, and just making sure that you're keeping that body, you know, from separating, that arm from separating, and that'll just also indicate that you're using rotation for those shots, which is important to do. It's not. You know, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say one guy who on tour, you go watch his swing, talk about like he has an imaginary ball in his arms, like you said,
yeah.
and towel under his is Bryson.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the way that guy swings, like it's so mechanical and it shows you that is like just ingrained into his muscle memory.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's great to see, you know, it's definitely great to see.
It does show it. I mean, there's a guy who's focused, yeah, like I said, on like really distilling the mechanics down to its most simple point mm-hmm. and just trying to redo yep. that every time. I'm not saying yep. that his swing is going to work for everyone, just like not any one swing is going to work for everyone, but he's done impressive things with it. Speaking of which, since there's no golf to watch, I watched last night, I don't know if you saw it, like on YouTube on the Masters channel, they put together like these mini movies of every Masters, and the 2019 one will mm-hmm. just give you chills for 55 straight minutes. Right. So I'm watching this thing. It's fantastic. They take you through every round and you realize that Bryson was really hot those first couple of days. I think he yep. fired like a 65 mm-hmm. the second day or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he just couldn't keep the pedal to the metal the whole time. But then you look at what Tiger did and it was just like
yeah.
the guy, the way he knows that course, you know, and just methodically just, you know, working his way through all 4 days, just steady. Like there were guys who were getting hot and then cold and going back and forth, good day, bad day. Tiger just kind of methodically made his way through. And my favorite part was like, I think it was 16 when Tiger, I believe he made birdie there and they show Koepka who was teeing off on 17 and he stopped his tee shot to peek over and watch Tiger. And then you just realize cool. that it's Tiger's show sometimes and everyone else is just, you know,
right.
just watching along.
Of course. But of course. I got to check that one out.
Check that one out.
For it was sure. Tony Finau was in the running too, right?
Tony was in the mix. They had yep. five guys tied for the lead at one point on Sunday.
Right. Okay.
You know, Molinari, Schauffele, right. Alexander Schauffele. Yep. That was something. And then at the end, they had the press conferences and what's his name? And Brooks was saying, you know, how as a fan of golf, he you know, obviously he didn't want to, he wanted to win it, but as a fan of golf, he's like, I love it, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, digress there, but
yes,
it was really awesome stuff. But anyway, it's not going to be easy to fix this chicken wing move, just like anything with changing swing patterns and mechanical patterns. It takes time. It's something that we worked on with the guys from Game Like Training. We had them on here on the podcast. If you guys didn't get a chance to listen to that, go back and listen to that because no matter what swing change you're making, they talk about the mental side of it and what it takes to reprogram your brain in a way. They talk about you don't have, literally speaking, you don't have muscle memory because there's no memory, you know, there's no brain in your muscles, but obviously you have these kind of like grooves and ruts in your brain that tell your body to move the same way over and over. And trying to change that is what is hard to do. If there's anything muscle mm-hmm. memory, that's kind of what it is. So they talked about how to do that. And we learned a lot with that. So that's a whole other episode, but check it out. But what I would say is more so set your expectations. You're not going to fix this in one range session. But the way you can fix it is by first understanding the mechanics, understanding what's going wrong and what needs to go right. And then using these drills multiple times under multiple sessions until it starts to feel natural. And then you can start to apply it out there. And then you should for sure. Benefit from it just like anything else.
My favorite picture in my office here, that Bay Hill shot.
Yeah.
I think that's a chicken wing right there.
It's hard to see it from here, but maybe.
It is, yeah. But this is all great stuff. I mean, definitely something I struggle with for a long time, and it's going to be very helpful.
It is. It's good stuff. Out there. But all right, so that's everything we have for you guys. Listen, if there's anything you'd like to have us cover here, make sure you let us know. Because like I said, we're always working on bringing some new instruction. Most of the stuff that we're talking about here week in and week out, again, is stuff that we have struggled with in one way or another, and we have studied and learned and or are on that journey of learning. So we take you guys along for it. But we also learn from you guys. There's a lot of common mistakes out there. We love hearing it. So let us know one way or another. You can post in the Facebook group, just podcast, you know, future podcast ideas. You can email us podcast@golfficity.com if you don't want to share your ideas publicly and you just want to send them to us. Otherwise, DM us, tweet us. We are always looking for that and wanting to bring you guys more of this type of stuff. And like I said, as soon as these lockdowns lift, we are going to be back out there and bringing you guys more of that content you want. And speaking of which, Mike, I don't know if you have this. I have the weather app. And they've got a COVID-19 thing on there. So it's like pretty much all I check. And I try not to like look at it too closely, but because you can find like all these counters online. And the nice part is, at least what the benefit that I'm seeing is, last week it was the first time it switched where the number of confirmed cases is starting to go down to compared to the week before. And we've been doing that for a couple days now, which makes me feel like we may have peaked and may be on the way back down, because I have been checking this every couple of days and it was the confirmed cases were just going up and up and up. But, 202,000 confirmed cases in New York, you know, now, but that number is coming down, which is good.
Yeah, it is. And along with that, it's number of hospitalizations dropping, number of ICU admittance dropping.
Yep.
And that's great, or flattening and starting to head down. So that's the starting point to getting past this thing. Yep. I know we're still on lockdown by law, state law, at least till the end of this month.
Yeah.
And it being April 15th. So a lot can happen in the next 2 weeks where those numbers could be even better and better and better. And who knows, maybe it's May, maybe it's mid-May, maybe it's end of May, but I don't know, man. I think yours and I, our first thing when this is over is to get down to Pinehurst.
I know. First thing.
Yes, first thing.
Bring those rusty swings down to Pinehurst. That's for sure.
Yeah, maybe we could knock the rust off a little bit first.
I think we
can. We'll get our fitting with Kevin Estimates, get him to kind of fix us a little bit.
Yeah.
And then we'll go.
Get us through it. That's for sure. But hey, look, confirmed cases in my county are down 44% since last week.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So I like seeing that good news every once in a while. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Absolutely, man. That's everything we have for you guys. Make sure you guys subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and take a minute to leave us a review. We would very much appreciate that. We love hearing from you guys and it really helps us to grow the show. Again, hopefully we'll be back in HQ really soon. But for now, we'll keep bringing you these weekly podcasts from home. And we do want to hear from you guys. So post your suggestions, your comments, whatever in the Facebook group. And we'll see everybody again next week.